Karen Cotty joins us now. Good morning, Karen. Let's talk first about that terrible story out of Virginia, the six-year-old who shot a teacher. How does the judicial system deal with something like this?
Well, it's very difficult because at age six, no court in the country is going to say that the child of that age has a criminal intent, has the ability to form criminal intent, which is necessary for any crime. So it's not going to be a punitive action against him. What I think they're probably going to do is take him through the juvenile court system, and even so, he's too young to be in a juvenile detention center. So he, you know, my guess is he's going to be released to a family member or to some sort of social aid shelter of some type, and he's going to have to receive a lot of therapy and try to figure out what he did and why he did it and what contributed to that whole mentality.
Are the parents criminally liable here?
Well, in Virginia, there is no law that you have to lock up your gun if you have children, which I find stunning that we have laws, don't have laws like that. Illinois doesn't even have a law like that. And shout out to legislators. I think we should. But there is a misdemeanor they could be charged with for leaving a gun unlocked and having someone hurt because of it. The prosecutors could get creative and say there was some sort of reckless disregard for the safety of other people, especially if they knew the little boy was like talking about doing that, or he had other issues. So I guess it remains to be seen, but there's really no good law in the books that's going to punish them in any severe fashion.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened with the Highland Park shooter. He made a prank phone call from jail to a New York Post reporter. Will this affect the case, do you think?
Well, it certainly doesn't reflect well on him, not that he has a great reputation to begin with. It just seemed like an unhinged thing to do. And again, when you are accused of crime like this, you know, you're probably facing the rest of your life in jail anyway. And it just seems like, you know, someone should have told him he shouldn't be doing it. I don't know if it just shows that he's got mental illness or he thinks it's funny. I don't know. But his lawyers should be on him to say, you know, stay off of the phone. What are you doing?
Right, exactly.
You're
in enough trouble.
You're in enough trouble when it comes to sentencing. Of course, they can bring up his conduct while he's in prison. You know, did he follow the rules? Did he take these things seriously? I mean, that doesn't really bode well for him when it comes to sentencing.
In Georgia, now that the grand jury there looking into whether Donald Trump interfered with the state election concluded their report, what happens? And is that going to be made public?
Yeah, they concluded their report, and in the grand jury system in Georgia, it gets concluded, the report is confidential, it goes to the prosecutor, then the prosecutor looks at the evidence and the findings of the grand jury and decides whether or not to bring a charge against Donald Trump or any of his the people that may have been responsible for what happened. And it will be made public if the court decides, and it looks like there's a date of January 24th where the media and all of the people who have an interest in this are going to go to court and argue that it should be made public. But my guess is that there are going to be charges brought, at least against some people, if not Donald Trump, then maybe some of the people who made calls to the Secretary of State trying to overturn the election. And we might have those charges even before that is made public.
Here in Illinois, no cash bail goes to the state Supreme Court. What's your prediction, Karen?
You know, I really looked at this for the first time and read all of the provisions of the judge's ruling. There was a ruling down in Kankakee where the judge overturned the no cash bail provision. Whether you like the no cash bail provision or not, it does look to me like it might violate the separation between what the judiciary is supposed to do and what the legislators are supposed to do. And the judges are supposed to take each case as they find them and decide how do we keep the public safe by issuing bail or not bail. And when you take that away from judges, it's a violation of separation of powers. Also, there's a Victims' Rights Act in Illinois that this might violate, And the Illinois Constitution has a provision about bail. And if you read it carefully, it looks like it might usurp power again from the Constitution and might violate that provision. So my guess is we have some problems here. That doesn't mean that it can't be rewritten, but as it stands, I think it might be overturned.
And finally, we have the case of the McDonald's CEO who failed to disclose affairs with co-workers. Are we actually talking about criminal charges possible here?
Yeah, this is this went over the line. I mean, he was fired because apparently, allegedly, he was having affairs with workers, which is inappropriate. He gave back his severance pay, but apparently there was a report that he was responsible for issuing, filling out for the SEC, and he didn't disclose that this was a reason that he was leaving, and apparently the SEC didn't like it. So it seems to me it's not that the fact he was having affairs, but the fact that he didn't accurately describe the reason for his termination, which would affect the stock of McDonald's. But this is kind of a new thing. I've never seen a case where an affair ends up with criminal charges.
Interesting. And Karen, we'll be talking about all of this and more on the radio here Sunday afternoon from 3 until 5. And we'll talk to you here again next Wednesday morning. Have a good day, Karen. Thank you.
You too, Bob. Take care.